I'm George Borey, Chief Investment Strategist for Allspring's Fixed Income Team, and welcome to Spring Talk. Today I'm here with Jeff Weaver. Jeff's the head of Allspring's Global Liquidity Solutions Team. It's a great pleasure to have you. Good to see you, Jeff.
Nice to see you, George. Thanks for having me.
So, Jeff, you and your team manage Allspring's money market and short duration products across our fixed income platform. You know, and the front end of the yield curve has really been the place to be for bond investors over the last 2 years. What are you telling clients to do with their money, with cash investment at the front end of the curve?
We really have two types of clients. We have dedicated cash investors that require the stability, require liquidity, preservation of principal for their cash. These tend to be institutional investors. And then we have a number of investors that have really increased their allocation to cash, to money market funds because of the attractiveness. And so we've been suggesting that clients take advantage of modest extensions. Even modest extensions make sense. So for cash balances where there's either excess cash or cash with less liquidity needs, we believe that by extending duration, you can lock in higher rates, these higher rates for longer, as we do expect rates to ultimately come down. And that's true for both institutions and for individuals.
Well, say, you know, Jeff, it sounds like, you know, a lot of income at the front end of the curve and a little bit of duration, emphasizing a little, you don't have to try very hard, but just a marginal extension out to maybe 6 months, 1 year, maybe even a little longer, has actually provided some nice returns to portfolio. So that does make a lot of sense in this market. Now, as an investor at the front end of the yield curve, I think we have to talk about the Fed. You sort of alluded to that. You know, Powell and his team, as we know, signaled a pretty dramatic pivot back in December, you know, that they plan to cut rates this year. Then the market got all hot and excited, thinking we're going to see big rate cuts, you know, 6-7 rate cuts this year, only to start dialing back those expectations. That was really underscored most recently with the March payroll number, which came in pretty strong. And so now the market is much more balanced. It's more aligned kind of with the Fed, meaning the Fed is expecting to cut rates, you know, call it 3 times this year. But is there enough information in the data to suggest that the Fed actually needs to cut rates? You guys have been pretty adamant. You're expecting the Fed to do what they say they're going to do. And that's been the right kind of message. Given the most recent data, are you still sort of convicted on that front, or are things starting to change a little bit for you and the team?
That's right, George. We do believe the Fed will be cutting rates 3 times this year. We saw a really strong employment report today. And so the data does need to cooperate for the Fed to start cutting rates. But the importance is inflation. And when we look at inflation, core PCE as of the last reading was at 2.8%. This is down from 5%, 5.5% a year and a half ago. And we believe inflation will continue to trend lower. But there is some stickiness to inflation. Shelter and owner equivalent rents remain high. But, you know, we do think that the right now rates are too restrictive. And it's certainly, you know, it's certainly a balancing act. The Fed remains very steadfast in desiring to achieve their goal of 2% inflation. And, you know, just this week, Chair Powell said not 3%, not 2.5%, but 2%. And the last thing that they want to do is cut rates too soon. They don't want to cause a reacceleration of the economy leading to an increased inflation after a lot of hard work over the last couple of years. But at the same time, they don't want to be overly restrictive. They don't want monetary policy to push the U.S. economy into a recession. And so, you know, therefore, we do believe that the Fed will want to fine-tune monetary policy by cutting rates just as long as inflation continues to trend lower.
You know, I think you make a really good point, Jeff. I mean, fine-tuning policy is not something the Fed has historically done. And so it is a little bit unprecedented. They're adjusting rates in response to inflation. Like you said, it does provide some nice air cover for them to do that. but they're constrained. So again, I think it really cuts to your central message earlier about, you know, sort of that maximize your income at the front end of the curve, a little bit of extra duration. And that's kind of really your friend for this point in the cycle. So, but let's just say that the Fed does successfully, you know, kind of creates the window or sort of is able to adjust rates, you know, kind of downward as they're suggesting. You know, what does that mean, you know, for money market and short duration investors? We've kind of alluded to it, you know, but what specifically, you know, should investors do? What are the clients that you talk to kind of day in and day out kind of doing with their money, and how are you guiding them, you know, given the sort of the opportunity set that kind of exists at the front end of the curve?
You're right, George. Yields on cash are quite attractive, but you don't have to do much or try very hard to earn additional incremental returns. For example, in current government funds are around 5.2%. If you look at a high quality portfolio of anywhere from a half a year to even 2 years, yields are about 5.4%. So by doing that modest extension, you get the additional pickup in yield. But more importantly, as yields fall, you'll get an incremental pickup in return from price appreciation. And so if the Fed does what they say they'll do and rates go down by 75 basis points, then those portfolios that have a half year duration and beyond could start to earn total returns that are closer to 6, even 7%.
Yeah, you don't have to try very hard to get, you know, what many investors view as kind of long-term, you know, kind of bond type returns. So that is great news. Let's just change gears a little bit. Think about the technicals. The money markets are massive. You know, there's roughly $6 trillion of money harbored in money markets and growing here in the U.S. You know, just to put that into perspective, you know, that's roughly 25% of GDP. So the money markets, they matter. They matter a lot. So maybe we talk a little bit about the technicals, what you and the team are seeing. You know, earlier in April, back on April 2nd, we had some new money fund kind of regulation and liquidity requirements take effect. From your perspective, you know, as a money market investor, how should investors think about it? What are the big kind of picture implications of these changes, you know, for both, you know, kind of how you and the team are managing money, but also, you know, from the investor's perspective, how should our clients think about these sort of changing regulatory landscape?
Yeah, I think it's important that the SEC has responded to events such as COVID and really look to reform money market funds to continue to keep investors safe and to continue to really guard against any, you know, negative effects in the financial markets. And so, you know, I think the SEC really wants to just ensure that that those money market funds continue to be a safe place for investors to keep their funds. And they started implementing those changes, this recent round of reforms back in last October. And as you said, this week, we had a couple, some additional parts of that reform implemented. And this week, for example, we now need to hold 50% in weekly liquidity versus prior to this, we had to have 30% in weekly liquidity. I think the important part about this is there's no longer fees and gates that are associated with these weekly liquidity levels. And that's important for investors, particularly for our institutional investors. I think the thing that investors should certainly be aware of, and again, this is more for our institutional clients, is on October 2nd, liquidity fees, mandatory liquidity fees will be put in place. And that's going to create, you know, some additional layers of challenge for investors. In that there will be, there'll be somewhat of a lack of transparency about when those liquidity fees could go into place. And so we do think for our institutional investors in prime funds that there will be, you know, a decreased demand until we kind of see how that shakes out. But otherwise, for investors in government funds or retail funds in the prime space or retail investors in the prime fund space, we think that, you know, these reforms are very positive.
Well, you said there might be a little bit of a pullback, you know, from say institutional investors, but the dash for cash is very much alive and well. And as we've titled this, this discussion around, you know, should we still T-bill and chill, or do we need to pivot? It seems like, you know, we're going to continue to see very, very strong demand for money at the front end of the curve. When we think about that sort of pile of money and some of the economic dynamics you mentioned, you know, I think it's fair to say that the, you know, sort of as we look forward into this year and beyond, you know, the cone of uncertainty, the sort of different types of market outcomes is very wide. It's always wide, but it's particularly wide right now. You know, and so many are asking, like, so what's gonna sort of turn the apple cart over? Is it going to be the Fed making a policy mistake? Is it the economy that suddenly rolls over? Could it be the election later this year here in the U.S.? So I guess sort of the question really is, how should investors kind of ride the curve, if you will? We talk about a little bit of duration and really try and get prepared for these different types of outcomes. So what are you suggesting to clients?
Yeah, George, I think it's always very easy to get caught up in the topic du jour. You know, we do have an election coming up. Of course, the Fed is certainly very important. But I think ultimately what investors need to do is stay true to their objectives. And typically that has a lot to do with maintaining liquidity, maintaining a significant source of income, but also remaining diversified. And so one of the things that we get concerned with is that clients are so enamored with money market rates that they've now have an over concentration in money market funds. And so I'm the cash guy, I'm the money fund guy at and lead a team here at Allspring, in which, you know, we certainly are supportive of that that asset class. But we also think it's prudent that investors consider what their options are, not get overly concentrated in any one sector, and take advantage of incremental and duration extensions in the event that rates ultimately fall.
Jeff, as always, this has been both a fantastic and fascinating discussion. All things start at the front end of the bond market, and you've really provided us with some great insight. So thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, George.
And for our audience, we hope to see you next time on Spring Talk.
Visit allspringglobal.com to receive more market insights and investment perspectives from Allspring Global Investments. To hear the latest from our thought leaders on the ever-changing investment landscape, you can subscribe to the program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening and joining us on the road to investing elevated. This material is provided for informational purposes only and is for professional, institutional, or qualified clients, investors, not for retail use outside the U.S. This material does not constitute an offer or solicitation and in any case is not intended to be used in any jurisdiction or to any person where it would be unauthorized or unlawful to do so. Allspring Global Investments, Allspring, is the trade name for the asset management companies of Allspring Global Investments Holdings, LLC, a holding company indirectly owned by certain private funds of GTCR, LLC, and Reverence Capital Partners, LP. Unless otherwise stated, Allspring is the source of all data, which is current or as of the date stated. Past performance is not a guarantee or reliable indicator of future results. All investments contain risk. Content is provided for informational purposes only, with no representation regarding its adequacy, accuracy, or completeness, and should not be relied upon. Views, opinions, assumptions, or estimates are not necessarily that of Allspring and are subject to change without notice. And this communication does not contain investment advice, an investment recommendation, or investment research as defined under local regulation of the respective jurisdiction. CFA and Chartered Financial Analyst are trademarks owned by CFA Institute. 100 basis points equals 1%. Diversification does not ensure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses.
Source: Bloomberg News article titled Money Market Fund Assets Reach $6 Trillion for First Time by Alex Harris and Carter Johnson, dated February 1, 2024. Investment risks. Your capital may be at risk. Past performance is not a guarantee or reliable indicator of future results. Returns may increase or decrease as a result of currency fluctuations. The value, price, or income of investments or financial instruments can fall as well as rise. You may not get back the amount originally invested.
Copyright 2024 Allspring Global Investments Holdings, LLC, all rights reserved. April 2024.